I'm Janet. I am a food addict, and I'm glad to be here. My abstinent date is April 9th, 1976. I'm 47 years abstinent in the program of Overeaters Anonymous. I came in Overeaters Anonymous. I was weighing in another program at 309 pounds. And the lady weighing me in at the other program told me there was a new game in town called Overeaters Anonymous. And I always tried everything, so it didn't matter. So I went to my first OA meeting and I took my mom, in case you kept me. I ate all day in case I wasn't going to get it for a while in the whole bit. And the only thing I remember about that meeting is I left with my mom and I looked at her and I said to her, I said, I don't know what the hell they have, but they have something I want. And I had no clue what it was. Everywhere I'd gone in my life, they gave me a shot, a pill, a diet. It didn't matter what. I started at diet doctors at the age of 8. And they weren't diet doctors back then. They were family doctors trying to do the best they could. And my family doctor, I would weigh in, and if I lost weight, he'd give me a quarter as a reward to go get a malt. And if I gained weight, I didn't get the quarter. So I learned from a very early age the reward system of good, bad, fat, thin, and this is okay, so you get a malt. This isn't okay, you don't get a malt. And I was today there's a lot of extremely obese children, but in my generation there wasn't. I was it. And I got stuck in the chairs at school and back. I had to have clothes especially made because they didn't sell it back then. So I went through my life as an obese person. And I started dieting around the age of 8. And I continued until I got to you. I tried the shots, the pills, the X-lax, the doorknob pullers, the trampolines, the AIDS. Like I always said, my generation, we had AIDS. And I said, a box of AIDS would taper my appetite for a little while, because I'm compulsive, addictive, and everything. I'd lose 20 pounds, gain 40, lose 40 pounds, gain 80. The last time I lost weight before I got to you, I'd lost 80 pounds in another program, basically not eating. We'd weigh in on Monday night and we'd all go out and eat a great big meal. I'd eat all day Tuesday, Wednesday, go home, taper off, and not eat anything on like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and weigh in Monday. And physically destroying my body, but I lost 80 pounds, and that's all that mattered to me. And then we moved from the state we were in to Iowa, and I can even remember that night and the place. I was driving the kids, and the thought crossed my mind, I don't have to weigh in Monday. That was the only thought that crossed my mind, and we stopped at this place, and I remember getting what I wanted to get and stuff, and I gained 120 pounds in less than a year. I could not quit eating. I hated myself. I was up to a man's 3X flannel shirt that I could not button. I had to wear a t-shirt underneath it. I had to have my rings cut off. I couldn't cross my legs. I broke down chairs. I had the raw between my legs from rubbing together and stuff. I broke down beds. Just self-hate, because I had failed once again. But I kept going back to this one place, even though only because I knew it had worked until I got to you. Okay. And I am, for me, my experience, strength, and hope, and it worked for me. And I'm so grateful. I walked into OA when it was pretty well black and white. You had three meals a day, nothing in between, no sugar. It was explained to me through the big book. I had an allergy and a metal obsession. An allergy is just an abnormal reaction. My body does not process certain things the same as anybody else with an allergy. And my higher power used that as, to reveal my truth to me. And what I found out for me is I'd been trying to treat an allergy and a metal obsession with cabbage soup and doorknob pullers. I did not know. I didn't take step one until I got to you guys. Okay, what I could admit that I was a stupid, fat, weak, well-digger slob that couldn't handle. What I could admit that I did hide food, not to you, but to myself, that I'd hide food, steal food, lie about food, eat food, fantasize about food. The thoughts, the obsession ran my life. It owned me. Everything I did, my obsession over my body, over my weight, and over my worth, and over food owned me. That's what I could admit until I got to you. And after I found out through you and the big book and the people that went before me, I had an allergy. It set me free because I always tried to figure out what's wrong with me. I mean, how do you get a Janet? How do you get somebody at 309 pounds? How do you get somebody that cries at night, please don't let me eat, please don't let me eat, and then I'm eating? How do you get somebody that continues to go against what they want and they have no choice in it and stuff? So when I got to you and I found that out, I found out my truth that has set me free. And for me, I have an allergy to sugar, an abnormal reaction. I was taught three meals a day, and that's what I do. No sugar. All of my food is fourth or fifth down on the ingredients. I don't screw around with it. I don't play around with it, and I don't have any problem with it, And also, through the process of the steps, my obsession has been removed. The voices that used to tell me what to eat, how much to eat, and that I had to have more. I had to sneak it. I had to find it. I had to buy it. I had to have it. Those voices are gone. I don't walk through a store and sniff out anything, or I don't fantasize that. The obsession for overeating, compulsive eating, sugar, those obsessions have left. Also, with the body image, I lost 120 pounds and I weigh 190 pounds. I have weighed 190 pounds for 40, 45 and a half years because it took me about a year and so to lose the 120. And so, for all those years, the only weight change I've had between 5 pounds up or down is I went through four different kinds of cancer, and I had the chemo, and I had some surgery and stuff. And through the cancer and the chemo, I lost some weight. But the second my body was okay, it was exactly 190 pounds. And so, if 46 and a half years, I'm still at 190 pounds. It has to be God's will that I'm 190 pounds. I'm 81 years old, and stuff. And I weigh 190 pounds. I have lost 120 pounds. I have kept it off. I do not have the obsession. Today I walk absolutely free. I have never gotten far enough. I've never left the rooms. I know so many people that leave the rooms and stuff. I have never left the rooms. I heard a speaker say once, he said, I never got far enough from the rooms to question if I was a food addict. See, I have taken step one. I know to the core of my being that I am a food addict, and there's I have to have a power grid myself. I have to. It's manifested for me through the process of the 12 steps in the Bay Book and stuff. But until I knew I was a food addict with a physical allergy and a mental obsession over which I could do nothing about it. See, I couldn't fix it. I tried to fix it, folks. You don't shoot. I went on that thing where you shot pregnant women's urine into your stomach in a 500-calorie diet. I went to exercise clinics where they vibrated you on wooden little rollers. I started back at exercise clinics when they used to have those big rubber bands that shook the crap out of you. I've done X-lax, water pills, suppositories, fasting. I've done the over-exercise. I've done everything I was capable of doing, got me to 309 pounds. And then I got to you. I found a power greater than myself, which I choose to call God, that God manifested his love, his power, his peace, his truth, his freedom into my life through the steps. I am a 12-step person. I love the Big Book. I love the 12 steps. I love going through it. I am always in the Big Book. I am always taking people through the Big Book. It is my spiritual food, if you want to call it and stuff. And then, see, I started through the steps. I remember when I was reading the Big Book on my own, and I found a passion for the Big Book that people didn't have in OA, you know. And 47 years ago, we didn't have OA material. We had the Big Book, and we had the newcomer package. We had nothing else. And I fell in love with the Big Book. And then they told me that if I wanted to, because they knew nothing in OA, it's all new. Nobody knew crap, you know. And they told me I could start going to open AA meetings. So I started to go into open Big Book AA meetings to learn about the Big Book. And I fell more and more and more in love with it. I knew that the steps were my answer. I don't know why I knew. And I knew that being around the people that were like-minded and my support group that had made the journey before me was my answer. I don't know how I knew that, but I knew that. And I had two sponsors when I first came in. And I used to play them against each other. You know, I had one sponsor in. When I came in, my life, when I came into program, I was 309 pounds. I drank a fifth of scotch every couple of days. I spent 5 nights a week in the bars. I smoked a couple packs of cigarettes a day. I physically and verbally abused my children. I committed adultery wherever possible. I was full of fear. I was full of guilt. I was full of hurt, shame, hate. I had met my husband when I was working in a strip bar. And it went downhill from there. He was newly divorced with 4 kids, and I was newly divorced with 2 kids. So that looked like God's will. You know, so you can tell I had a little bit of crap when I came into program that the steps we were going to walk through and stuff. And I had 6 kids that were all teenagers when I came in. They were 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, and 13, and our house was a hell. Not just my eating, not just my yelling, my compulsion, my addiction, my self-pity, but the house was hell. And I would call up one sponsor, and I'd tell her what was going on, and she'd say, "Oh, Jana, you have it so bad." And I'd say, "Yes, I do. I have it bad. I do have it bad, you know." And then when I wanted to get over it, I'd call the other sponsor and I'd tell her what was going on. And she said, "Jana, what are you going to do about it?" And I found out back then that it's always my choice to live in the solution or not. I was making the choice of who to call. If I want to live it, my self-pity, my obsession, my crap, I called the one person. If I wanted to recover, I called the other person that was doing the stuff. She wasn't feeling sorry for me. She was
5
willing to.
minutes.
Whoa, dang, you're fast. And she was willing to take me through the steps and stuff. You know, my first sponsor taught me one of my greatest gifts that I've received in the program is she told me, Jana, she says, you're going to go through it. How you go through it is your choice. And but how you go through it isn't going to change the fact that you're going to go through it. You can eat your way through it. You can feel sorry for yourself all the way through it. You can moan, groan, complain, bitch. You can do whatever you want, but you're still going to go through it. So how you go through it is your choice. And I learned that she was absolutely true. And just in my life, since 2011, we'll just go from there. My mom died the 2nd of 2011. My husband died 2 weeks later on the 19th. In 2014, I went through four different kinds of cancer with the chemo and then went and had another PET scan, another surgery. In 2017, I had a daughter die of cancer. In 2018, I had a daughter die of heart disease at 378 pounds. In 2019, my sister, who I lived with, after my husband passed away, she passed away. And both of my sons have had prostate cancer. And right now, my oldest daughter has Alzheimer's. Her son, which is my grandson, has a cancer that is not curable but treatable. And he's on his ninth round of chemo. And his daughter, who's 8 years old, who is my great granddaughter, has brittle bone disease, which only happens in people in their 60s and 70s. The reason I'm telling you this stuff is life is life and it's real. And God's removed the obsession. I'm not going to eat my way through this crap. It never crosses my mind that a pizza is going to make my grandson's cancer go away. It just doesn't cross my mind. But when I had that disease voice, it could lie to me. See, you can't eat on the truth. You can only eat a lie. You have to believe a lie, else you can't even pick it up. You know, in my higher power and through the steps and through the process of continuing through the steps and continuing to take people through the steps, those lies have been quieted for me. You know, I don't believe the lie anymore. You know, I sponsor a lot of people that still do, and they're still, and I say, well, that's a lie. You know, and once it's revealed spiritually that that is not a truth, they can walk free also. You know, what I'm trying to tell you, I have 47 years in this program, 47 years with this way of life, 47 years of watching people recover and watching people die. I have 47 years of watching people do the stuff in the big book and work it, and I've seen the miracle take place, and I've watched people walk free. And if I hadn't seen it, and if I hadn't experienced it, and if I didn't know it was possible, I wouldn't be here today. And I also know to the core of my being, just like Bill and Bob, the only thing I have to share is my experience, strength, and hope. I have nothing else to share with anybody but my journey in my life through this disease, through the recovery, and how I got there. Today, I walk free. I
1 minute.
walk. Thank you, thank you. I walk free. And I'm telling you, if you're in bondage to food or the crap in your life and you're not there yet, I promise you it's available. If it wasn't available, I wouldn't be living in it. You know, I know where I came from. I know those voices. I know that shame and that guilt and that fear and that obsession and that self-hate. And I have none of that today. I'm content. I'm comfortable in my own skin and I live at peace. My disease did not run my life. I love you guys. Thank you for letting me share.